you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Reading from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. Genesis 8, 22. Galatians 6, 7a. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a person plants, he will harvest. Galatians 6, 7a. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, June 10th, 2023. We'll continue our series, Daring Faith, Key to Miracles, on the Tuesday and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. Today and tomorrow, looking at Daring to Plant in Faith, a series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. We'll be looking at 12 laws of planting and harvesting. Today we'll be looking at these five. 1, everything starts as a seed. 2, nothing happens until a seed is planted. 3, when I have a need, I should plant a seed. 4, whatever I plant is what I'll reap. And 5, I'm not the only one sowing. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church with his topic, Daring to Plant in Faith.
Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. There are laws of seed time and there are laws of harvest. And Galatians 6:7 says this, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a person plants, he might harvest. Is that what it says? That says he what?
Will.
He will. Count on it. Circle that word, will. Now, today what I want to teach you is daring to plant in faith. And specifically, I want to teach you God's laws of the harvest. God's laws of planting and harvesting. Or in the olden days, it was called the laws of sowing and reaping. Most people, if you say the word sowing today, they think of like a needle and thread. S-E-W, not S-O-W. But when you talk about sowing and reaping, that's the old style. Before there were farm machinery, people had to sow seed by hand. And it was literally called broadcasting. It was broadcasting. You carried a bunch of seed in a sack, and as you walked through, you broadcast it, which is, by the way, where we get the terms broadcasting for television and radio and things like that, because you're sowing seed on a wide distance. It's not just planting one little seed at a time. You're broadcasting it, or you are sowing. Now, if you ignore the laws of sowing and reaping in your life, it's going to hurt you. It will harm you. If you wisely use the laws of sowing and reaping in your life, you're going to be blessed by it. And you can use the laws I'm about to teach you literally in every single area of your life. Daring to plant in faith. You can use the laws of sowing and reaping in relationships. You can use the laws in your health. What you sow, you will reap. You can use it in your finances. You can use it in your career. Learning how to plant wisely in your career and how to harvest wisely in your career. The point that I want to make before I get into these laws is this. Whatever you need more of in your life, you need to plant in faith. If you need more, you feel like you need more appreciation, you need to start appreciating other people. Plant seeds of appreciation. If you feel like you need more talent, you need to start using the little talent you've got, and God will give you more. If you need more time, if you need more money, if you need more energy, whatever you need more of, you need to learn the laws of planting and harvesting, or sowing and reaping. You need to plant what you need. Now, let me go through these laws pretty quickly. Number one, write these down. Everything starts as a seed. That's the first law of the harvest. Everything starts as a seed. Every idea started as a seed idea. Every dream started as a dream seed. Every achievement Every nation, America started as an idea, a seed idea of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. This church started as a seed. Your life started as a seed. When your father's seed was connected with your mother's egg, your life began. Literally, everything that is living on the planet Earth came from a seed. If it didn't come from a seed, it's not alive. And so everything starts as a seed. Now in Genesis chapter 1, God says this, "Let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to their varieties." Now circle that phrase, according to their varieties, because I'll come back to that in a little bit. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about planting a seed? A seed is anything, write this down, a seed is anything valuable that I give away. A seed is anything valuable that I give away. When you give away praise, there's value to that. When you give away advice, that's good advice, there's value to that. When you give away your time, there's value to that. When you give away your money, there's value to that. When you give away your experience to help other people, there's value to that. Anytime you give any, when you give your love away, there's great value to that. A seed is anything that I give away in order to help somebody else. So it all starts as a seed. It could be time, money, appreciation, wisdom, energy, whatever. By the way, words can be seeds. Words can be seeds that you plant in people's mind. All right? And they can grow, they grow, they do grow, and they bear fruit. And so you need to choose your words wisely, especially when you're talking with people that you love, children, your husband, your wife, your friends. Those are seeds. What kind of, let me just ask you, what kind of seeds are you planting in your relationships? Are you planting seeds of trust or are you planting seeds of distrust? Are you planting seeds of kindness or are you planting seeds of crankiness and anger and bitterness, meanness? Are you planting seeds that build up or are you planting seeds that tear down? You will reap whatever you sow. Okay, number two, law number two, nothing happens until the seed is planted. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. It must be given away. It can't do any good in a bag. Now, Jesus used this principle to explain why he came to die. In John 12, 24, Jesus said this, "Unless a grain of wheat," that's a seed, "unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, it cannot reproduce. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit." You know, a year ago, I bought some pumpkin seeds and they never sprouted. I forgot to plant them. They're still in the packet. I found them this week. Okay, no wonder. A seed is worthless in a bag. Now imagine a farmer going to a feed store, buying a big sack of seed for some crop he's going to grow, and then he puts it in his barn, and then he's afraid to give it away. And he goes, "Oh, you know, I want to hold on to it. I might not have enough. We would say that is foolish. Seeds are meant to be planted. Seeds are meant to be given away. What I'm teaching you is that planting and sowing is an act of faith. It's an act of faith because it's saying, when I plant the seed, I believe that something great is going to happen because I plant this seed. Something great will happen because I'm going to give away what I've got. I'm not going to keep it in my bag. I'm going to give it away, and I believe it's going to produce some fruit. Now, planting seeds is also risky because you can't see what's happening under the dirt. Most of you know I'm a farmer at heart. A couple years ago, I actually grew 56 kinds of vegetables that year. This year, I've cut it way, way back. But I am growing a lot of kale, and I'm growing, you know, vegetables and tomatoes and peppers and all kinds of different stuff. Now, I can't go out to my garden and every day dig it up to see if it's growing. When you plant a seed, it's covered up and it's buried, and you don't know, is that thing going to sprout or not? Is it going to sprout or not? And that's where the faith comes in, because you can't see it. What if it doesn't sprout? You're tempted to dig it up. What if it fails? What if I give my seed away and nothing comes of it? Then I'm up a creek without a paddle. That's where the faith comes in. Jesus said it like this, Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. Notice, this is a parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. Night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed is still growing, but the person doesn't know how it grows. You can't see it until it sprouts. That's the element of faith. Okay, number three. When I have a need, I should plant a seed. When I have a need, I should plant a seed. When a farmer looks out on his barren field and he sees no crops in his field, he doesn't gripe, he doesn't complain, he doesn't even pray. He just starts planting. There are sometimes you should not pray. There are sometimes you should plant instead of pray. The farmer can look at a barren field and go, oh God, please make my corn crop grow. And God's saying, did you plant any seed? No, but I really make it grow. Did you plant any seed? No, but make it grow. It isn't going to happen. Sometimes you don't pray, you plant. This is the law of sowing and reaping. And so he just starts planting because no sowing, no harvest. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 11. Do your planting in the morning, and by the way, he says, in the evening too. In other words, all the time. You never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the others. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't put all your eggs in? Yeah, that's what investors say. This is what the Bible said this year. By the way, that verse, that idea is from the Bible. It's from Ecclesiastes. But here's another example. He says, when you sow, sow in a bunch of areas. Plant in a bunch of areas. Do your planting all the time. You should be planting good seeds all the time with your life because you never know where it's going to grow. Now, let me just be real honest. Some of you think you're waiting on God, and you're not. He's waiting on you. Some of you think you're waiting on God for a job or for a miracle or a spouse or something that you want. God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to start planting seeds. When I have a need, I plant a seed. If you don't make a deposit, there is no return. So whatever I need more of, I need to give it away. If I need more energy, I use the energy in the gym to get more energy. If I need more talent, I give away what I've got, and I get more talent by using what little I've got. My time, money, anything. Whatever I need more of, I give it away. When I have a need, I plant a seed. Number four, whatever I plant is what I will reap. This is the law of reproduction. Whatever I plant is whatever I will reap. If a farmer plants a field with beans, what crop should he expect to get? Watermelon? No. If I plant corn in the ground, do you think I'm going to expect zucchini? No. You're going to get in life whatever you plant. This is an inviolable rule of the universe. It'll either work for you or against you. He doesn't wonder about what's going to grow. He doesn't doubt what's going to grow. If I plant corn, I'm going to get corn because whatever I plant is what I'm going to reap. Galatians 6, 7. Let's read it aloud together. You will reap exactly what you plant. Now, there's a phrase in Genesis over and over that's used, and it's the phrase, after its own kind. And that phrase is talking about here that we always reap the same thing that we sow. Now, again, listen, this works both ways. It can either work for you or it can work against you. Whatever I dish out is what I'm going to get back in life. And the Bible talks about this a lot. In fact, let me just show you some verses on the screen here. Look at these. Here are some negative examples. Job 4:8, people who plant trouble harvest it. Look at the next one. Proverbs 22, verse 8, whoever sows sin reaps weeds. Proverbs 22, 8 in the New Living Translation says, those who plant seeds of injustice will harvest disaster. Hosea 10, 13, you planted wickedness and now you reaped evil. Matthew 7, 2, whatever measure you use to judge others will be used to measure how you are judged. Uh-oh. What you sow, you're going to reap. Now, let me show you some positive examples. Proverbs 11, 18. The one who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward. Hosea 10, 12. Plant good seeds of righteousness and you'll harvest a crop of my love. James 3, 18. Peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Are you getting the idea that this is not some minor message of the Bible? The laws of the harvest. You will reap what you sow with your children, with your wife, with your business. It'll either work for you or it'll work against you. You sow anger, guess what you're going to get? Angry kids. You sow patience, guess what you're going to get? Patient kids. You will reap what you sow, and you get exactly what you put out. I cannot sow irresponsibility and reap success. I cannot sow laziness and reap reward. I cannot sow stinginess and reap a blessing. The Bible is full of examples of this, both negative and positive. Jacob, his name, supplanter, meant he was going to cheat people. And Jacob cheated his brother and cheated his dad. So you know what happened? His father-in-law cheated him. He reaped what he sowed. Haman was a man who reaped bitterness, and he built these gallows to kill a guy named Mordecai. He ended up being hung on his own gallows. This happens all the time. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. I love this in the message. It says this. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, and ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. That's all he'll have to show for his life. But here's the good news. The one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. You're going to harvest whatever you plant. Okay, everything starts as a seed. Nothing happens till the seed's planted. Whatever I have, when I have a need, I plant a seed, and whatever I plant is what I'm going to reap. Number five, here's a big one. I'm not the only sower. You're not the only planter in the universe. Other people are planting all around you. And by the way, you are reaping both good and bad from those who went before you. Some of you grew up, sadly, and I'm sorry for this, in families with a history of abuse and a history of alcohol and maybe a history of divorce. And you have to decide the chain breaks now. I can't control the past, but I'm going to break the chain now. I talked to a guy in college one time, he was a good friend of mine named Rick. He said, four generations of my family all got divorced. He said, I am bound and determined that is not going to happen in my life. The chain breaks now. You are harvesting both good and bad from your past because you're not the only person who sowed. Everything you do has consequences. And by the way, your life is going to affect future generations. So you need to take it very, very seriously. You know, a couple years ago, PBS was doing a series of family histories of famous Americans. They had Oprah Winfrey and just a bunch of different people. And the guy who did it came and said, we want to do a pastor. We want to do you. I said, fine. So they actually took a swab of DNA out of my mouth, and they went back and traced my family tree back 1,000 years. I'm a king, and you should all bow down to me. I'm just teasing. Just teasing. But they found all kinds of interesting things and did a TV special on my family tree. One of the things I discovered is the amount of godly ancestors I had in my family. I am reaping the benefit and blessings from grandparents and great-grandparents who were praying for their great-grandchildren. I'm reaping that in my life because I had some people, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, who loved God and were praying for their future generations. Now, I know many of you say, well, you know, I didn't have a family like that. I'd like to have a legacy like that. Well, you start it. You start it. Start it with your family name, that you determine that the future generations of your family name are going to be blessed because you're going to plant seeds of prayer and love and godliness and generosity and faith and all these other things. And you and the people that you come out of your family tree have a blessing in heritage. You're not the only sower. Jesus said this, John 4:38, I sent you to reap where you did not plant, and others had already done work before you, and you will now gather the harvest. Last week, I showed you the commitment cards from seven previous faith generosity campaigns. I showed you those, of the people who've given to get us where we are today. And you are reaping the benefit. We're all reaping the benefit of their sacrifices. And I think about people who gave sacrificially, like Jay and Gladys Blazer and others, who are both in heaven now. Many of those originals are in heaven. And I think they never got to see what was going to be the impact of their faith, their sacrifice, and their gift. They didn't get to see it, but they're going to enjoy the rewards in heaven. You know, this week, Braven Carver interviewed some people in our church who were children during one of the campaigns that were called For the Children, when we raised the funds for to build the children's building. And we had a special children's offering there. And he interviewed those who are now adults that are actually serving as ministers on Saddleback staff as adults. I want you to watch this. It's pretty moving. It's worth watching.
Well, we can't watch it, but we'll certainly pick up here tomorrow and learn this principle of not only being the one that sows. Tomorrow we'll also look at, oftentimes you'll always reap in a different season that you sow, that you must be patient and not give up, that you'll always reap more than you sow, that you'll increase your harvest by planting more seed, that the more seed you plant, the more God will give you, that you plant by faith and not by feelings, and that the best time to plant is now. That'll be covered tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in our series, Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. This is part 5. And today and tomorrow, we're looking at daring to plant in faith. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Listening friend, most all of you that have been supporters of this radio ministry for the last few years should have received our newsletter. Exciting times, huh? I hope you'll respond through prayer and financial support as we're counting on God working through you to provide these funds in the coming days so that both these new stations can be reaching more people with the good news message of Jesus. If you've not received the newsletter, call us today. For our Great News Radio listeners, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And for our WLUJ family of stations, with our new KMDY, call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.